I want you to ask me a question. I have nothing in my mind to say. some question about our practice, maybe. Or more than practice, or our everyday practice.
In a few days, I'm leaving Tassajara to live in the city after being here for 1 year. I wonder what you might have specifically to say to me about that. Right now.
What time did you actually come back?
Come back?
Yeah. What time today?
Today, it was about 5:15.
5:15. The feeling, I think, when you are at Tassajara, you know, you don't find anything special. But if you come back, you know, from city, you will find Tassajara something quite different from city. I had same feeling when I came back to Heihei Monastery after stay outside of the monastery for maybe 1 or 2 days. When you are here, you know, you don't feel anything special. But, you know, even you feel something special when you come back to Tassajara. If you compare, I think proper understanding should be like this. Tassajara should be like water, you know. That you feel something special about it to see the wave on the water. So even though you feel you have some special feeling about Tassajara, but that is not true Tassajara. It is that you feel very good. But Tassajara should be greater than that. The wave is, you know, wave you see is according to Dogen Zenji, you know. The wave is a part of water, or one many ways of observing, one of the teacher of water. So, even though you have special experience in your practice, that special experience you had is just a part of the reality of perfect enlightenment. Perfect enlightenment is something more, greater than that, which is beyond our experience. But usually, you know, we become very proud of our practice at the Sahara when you feel good. But, you know, if our true practice takes whatever feeling you have about our practice, that is a part of, if that is a part of our practice, so even though you feel good, that is not, it does not mean our practice is good just because of your fear good. Even though you don't feel good, you know, about our practice, it does not mean our practice is not bad. And if you don't feel anything about it, it does not mean the practice is practice does not mean anything. Our real practice is something which you cannot compare to some other practice. It is. We should know that it is something greater than that, or deeper than that. And it is so great that you cannot compare to your ordinary experience. This point should not be forgotten, I think. But anyway, you know, if you come back from sitting, you feel wonderful, you know, when you come back. Maybe the Sahara is more than your home, I think. That is how I felt. I think you must have had the same feeling.
What are the auto-suggestive aspect of zazen? By auto-suggestive, I mean like self-suggestion. Do you understand
what I'm saying? I don't understand your point.
Say, count to ten. To a degree, this is auto-suggestive. Or if somebody said, I should put my consciousness, below my navel, this is even more auto-suggestive. But if somebody said, in Zazen, just sit, and no matter what happens, just sit, that would be like the antithesis to auto-suggestive. I just wanted you to talk a little bit about auto-suggestion or its antithesis and its relationship to Zazen.
Zazen is, you know, I'm talking about skandhas, you know. We say, you know, count your breathing, you know, put your mind on the palm. This is it does not mean to put our mind, you know, on our palm is our practice. You know. What we mean is to have mindfulness, you know, in our practice, not only on your path, but also your mind should pervade in various corners of your body, you know, your body. Should be, all of your body should aware of our practice. So to be concentrated on something like tummy or like your palm means it is like, you know, if you are sitting, you know, for instance, I may go, you know, for an instance, you know, check your posture, and I see your mudra and back and neck, you know, and breathing. If something is missing, some even though your mudra is right, you know, your neck is like this, you know, that is not practice, you know. Even though your mind is on your palm, if you are watching like this. For example, your mind on your palm. That is not what I mean. You know, this is very. I don't think you understand in that way. But mostly, there is some danger of a mistake, you know, to understand our instruction in that way. So, why we say so, it's, this is the most important point or center of your practice. So that is why we say so. But center is center. Now, when all of your body is participate in the practice. So, in short, with your mind and body, all mind and body, you should practice zazen. And for me, and for you, best way to know whether your practice is good or bad is, you know, to see your mudra, you know. That is what, whether you have strength here or not, it's easiest way to check samatha's practice and to know whether your practice is good or bad. by yourself. That is why we why you we give you that kind of instruction. Does it?
That doesn't mean then that if you say keep your mind in the left palm, that 40 minutes should go by with concentration on the left palm. Is that the understanding?
Yeah. That is not all, you know. Of course, you know.
The counting of the breathing. Should the whole 40 minutes be devoted to counting exhales, 1 to 10 and back to 1? Which...
that is, you know, pretty difficult. But you should be able to do that. Not always. I don't think you can do it always in that way. But when you are in good condition, you should be able to do that.
In other words, this is sort of like a self-test?
Yeah, it's sort of self-test. And actually, if you can do that more than maybe 10 minutes, you know, it is more than self-test. You will forget, you know, not forget, but you will be, your practice is go beyond actually breathing, counting. You are counting, but you are not counting like you count something.
Roshi, sometimes when we have discussions about the Dharma, you are quoting, you know, Roshi said this, or Roshi said that. How do we find our own true way with you?
With me?
With you.
That's very difficult. The best way, maybe, you know, if you understand, if you think you understood what I say, you should try, you know. You should try to accept it in its complete sense. And if you cannot, you should ask a question again. About breathing and practice, do you have some other questions?
You say that in counting the breathing from 1 to 10, it's not counting in the usual way. Could you say something more about that?
We count in action, and but not only we count our breathing, your mind. follow your preaching and be a physical body also follow or participate in breathing and count. In that way, you, as you count, you continue the practice with your mind and body. That is how we count our breathing.
You just have to push down on the exhale, just not too much, but some little bit. Should that be done for a whole period of zazen?
Yes.
Or just for a short period?
Not just short period. You should continue, especially for, you know, for beginners.
Can you say something about the mudra that you can use while sitting and other mudras perhaps?
This is called cosmic mudra. There are many mudras, of course, but we put all of our fingers like this. And second knot and first joint and second joint will make one line like this, and so shape will be like this, and here we have vertical line here, like here, and it should not be like this or like that. We must be, you know, we have to be aware of what we are doing, you know.
My right thumb is all crooked. Does that mean my zazen is very crooked?
No, I don't think so. That is all right. It means that this finger is crooked, you know. It can't be. If you do it your best, that is all.
Joshi, could you speak about pain in zazen? Physical pain?
Physical pain, yeah. And legs? If it is a leg, you know, if you continue it, you know, it may be all right. If that is too much, I don't know, you know.
Well, I always have the choice whether to sit half lotus and not have any pain or sit
half lotus. Why don't you try half lotus? It is not necessary. Always necessary to be full lotus. Half lotus is good enough. But when you cross your legs, half lotus may be better to try to full lotus. Naturally, you will do so, you know, when you find it easy to, too easy to cross in half lotus. You may try. I think you may try.
Roshi, do you have, are we supposed to count our breaths now? I know you say that sometimes, but I don't believe it enough to do it more than sometimes. And sometimes I'll count it for 5 minutes, and then I'll start wondering if I should be counting my breath, and I'll quit. So why don't you tell me now to count my breath, or don't count my breath? And
it
depends on the person.
That is your loving, not my loving. That is not my problem, you know. So if you feel good, you know, giving up in 5 minutes. But I don't think so.
You don't think so what?
You don't think, you know. I think you don't feel good if you give up in 5 minutes. And you, I think, until you can continue it, you know, one period, you will not be satisfied with your practice. But this kind of effort is, you know, here, the effort is the point. To make continuous effort is the point, not, you know, attainment is. not actually, posture or ability to count is not the point. To give up is bad. Do you understand? The spirit is important. This spirit, and you know, as I explained in parable of water and wave, in our practice we are liable to be caught by waves, you know. But wave is just a part of the nature of water. So 5 minutes is variable, 10 minutes is also variable. If that is, if the practice is based on belief in Buddha nature. Okay.
I guess, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'll count my breath.
Yes. Yes. You should continue. Okay. And don't be discouraged if you cannot do that. But try as much as you can. So far as you are trying, that is practice.
If we're having, I'm having a great deal of difficulty counting my breath.
Uh-huh.
In fact, I gave it up about a month ago. And I started concentrating on my posture because I found that when I was counting my breath, I counted my breath for 5 or 6 months. And then I found that if I counted my breath, my head was standing, my mudra was lopsided, my whole body was not with it.
Yeah.
So I started to concentrate on my body, and when I did that, I couldn't count my breath anymore. What should one do? Should one,
I understand what you said. The breathing, you know, without right posture, it is difficult to have natural, good breathing. You know, only with the right posture you can count you can follow your breathing, or you have natural breathing without much effort. And even though your posture is good, you can sit in good posture, even though you can do that. But if you are not get fully accustomed to it, you know, if you, as long as you are trying so hard just to keep your physical posture, spine or, you know, straight or, you know, mudra like, then it is rather difficult to follow your breathing even. So, counting breathing is counting breathing is good because it will help you breathing, and naturally your breathing will be deeper. So that is why we count for beginners.
I find counting exercises, I'm not just beginning, but it seems too difficult. Because there's so, in the beginning there's a great deal of pain, and the body is such a new position for the body to assume, it's very difficult.
Yeah.
And taking the concentration and putting it into the counting, which can become very mechanical, I find my practice is, I wouldn't say better or worse, but stronger when I'm very aware of where my body is, how it's moving, how my mouth is feeling, my head, my hand, rather than just counting 1 to 10 and following my breath.
Yeah. I think so too.
Can we, or should we, if we're beginning and finding it very difficult to count, can we concentrate on our posture?
If so, a kind of preparation for counting breathing, you can do that. It does not mean you give up.
I try occasionally
fall asleep when I count.
Does counting breathing alter the character of the breathing?
Character? No.
If a person breathes as I'm breathing now, not counting. When you make a suggestion with your mind, one, two, so forth, does that make the breath different, longer or shorter, or more pushed down, or something? It seems different to me, but I'm not sure.
It will help deeper breathing.
Seems like the breaths are longer.
No.
Both the intake and the exhale.
And I usually can't exhale. You know.
Yeah, that's what you suggested to do, was to let the but the inhale is connected to the exhale.
Yes. And when the inhaling is, you know, exhaling is good, inhaling is naturally good. It means that you make more space for your lungs to inhale, you know, to
push
it down, push everything down and make, you make more space for your inhaling. You don't feel you are pushing it down. You feel just having deeper breathing. You know. You feel as if your air comes to your belly, but that is your feeling. But actually, exhaling doesn't reach here. Inhaling doesn't reach here. But when you exhale, relax. It means to press everything down. That's all. Even though you don't try to do so.
Should the chest rise virtually when you inhale? Should the... If you're breathing up here,
mm-hmm.
your chest inflates.
Maybe so. I don't realize in that way. Inhaling is quite natural. When the exhaling is deeper.
Would you speak about macho and zazen and nightmares during sleep?
Nightmare and macho may be different. Macho is there's many things, you know. When you practice zazen, being concentrated in deeper concentration, you will see something. The reason why will be different. There must be many reasons. But mostly it is because of your imperfect breathing. And physical practice is not so good. But your mental or your mind is pretty good in good concentration. Then there may be some imbalance between physical and mental practice. I understand in this way about macho. But that is anyway, you have pretty good practice.
How about nightmares?
That is, lack of understanding of practice. Makyo is also good. Makyo or nightmare is also good. If you enjoy your nightmare, that is one of the functions of Buddha nature. So you should welcome. There's no reason why you should be afraid. So, you know, that kind of our practice should be, you know, based on that kind of faith or conviction or confidence.
Monday you said that the Buddha nature was ignorance. Does this mean that enlightenment is an illusion? Or
No.
Does this mean that we practice just to practice? I'm worrying about this all day today.
You know, when you are not afraid of anything, whatever happens to you, that is all right. You will not be killed by it. Even though you are killed by it, it is all right. You know, we should, our practice is not. We should not practice our way in some personal reason or selfish gain idea. We cannot escape from this world, you know. So, that you are afraid of something means you have something. So the purpose is to get rid of that something. And that is possible. And most important point is to understand our Buddha nature, or absolute nature, from various angles. You know, to observe our life from various angles. Not just the surface angles, but various angles. We don't die. What we mean by good is when you are ready to follow the truth that is good, and when you have selfish idea that is bad. It does not mean to have some special standard and measure our practice or evaluate things.
If we follow this method of palpable breathing, we won't necessarily feel better physically, and we may have even more mental stress, or very hard to compare because we don't know, than we would have if we didn't follow this method.
Anyway, you know, to practice skantada, it is easier to follow some way to help skantada. So the purpose is of those practice is to how to practice skantada without doing anything. You can stop your mind and and practice our way in its true sense, that is good. But that is very difficult. For a moment you can do that, but it is very difficult to continue. So if you are counting breathing, that is not much. You are not involved in some not much activity. It is much better than to think many things or to have many images to come over. And even though you don't do anything, if your mind pervades all of your body and all parts of your body, participating in the practice, you don't actually think. You know. So fire you can do that. But it is rather difficult to continue it. So we need some help.
Like
Koan
or
Watto,
something on this
order? Maybe. Koan practice, its purpose of Koan practice is mostly to stop thinking, or to push yourself to the limit of the thinking. where you cannot think anymore, where you have to give up thinking. You urge to accomplish our way, so great that, you know, mental thinking cannot help you anymore. So as long as you cling to thinking faculty, you will be defeated, or you will be lost, or you don't know what to do, because something you fix, support you, is too weak. You find it too weak, so, you know, this is not good. And you will confront with the problem, or koan, without anything, you know, without relying on anything.
This is formal koan, it's like not counting breathing, but more of the inside type koan that you're talking about now.
The counting breathing practice is very old, as old tradition, and it works pretty well for everyone. Maybe as long as you, when you, you know, practice zazen with some purpose, you know, you may, you know, say counting breathing practice is good or bad, you know. But when you feel you have to practice zazen in some way, and you have to accomplish your practice, when you have this kind of urge first, then counting breathing or whatever it is will work.
I'm not repeating a single word, Roshi. I've found, like, if you take the word move, you just sit and fix your concentration on that word and let it repeat, it fixes the mind, and eventually the word seems to go out too. Is that wrong practice to do that?
It is good. Actually, you know, to be involved in some activity in its true sense, without any subjectivity or objectivity. When you become one with your practice, whatever it is, not only zazen, but drinking, eating, you know, with oryoki, or bow, or reciting sutta, whatever it is, when you become one with the practice, then it means that you are one already, one with everything. And that practice includes everything. When the practice includes everything, there is nothing to achieve, or, you know, even nothing to do. And that activity includes everything. I say everything, you know. Everything. This is just word, you know. Everything means actually something greater than things. You know, which you can figure out. So that is so-called nothingness. Nothingness will, you know, will be realized when you are involved in some activity completely. That is nothingness.
You disappear into the activity.
You disappear. And what exists is actually activity only. And that activity is not your activity. Someone's activity. That's someone I don't know who he is. Maybe he is Buddha. And we don't think he is Buddha either. That is actual nothingness, you know. Nothingness is not somewhere else, right here. When we do something, there's actual nothingness. And when we are able to continue this kind of activity, more or less, that is Buddhist practice in our everyday life.
Can that ever happen while you're talking,
Sam? What did you say?
Activities
that are like
physical,
like the Aryoki or the
Rakuni.
When it happens. In process. When it happens.
While talking.
Can it happen while talking? Yes, it happens. Whatever it is, if you can do that. It looks like very difficult, but Zazen practice will, you know, will give you some proof, you know, if that is possible or not.
Does that mean, just to get really straight, that for all of us, we should all count our breathing for 40 minutes. Very good. That we should all count, all of the students that follow your way, should count their breathing for 40 minutes during Zazen.
Yeah. They have to try. If that is not possible, you should figure out why. Because of want of sleep, or because of your physical posture, you will find out many things. Then you should correct, you know, one by one, so that you can do it. So it does not mean if you cannot do that, you should be expelled. That's all. It does not mean that. So I want you to understand through counting, breathing practice, what is actual practice of Zazen. That is the main point.
Is it possible to experience emptiness other than through form?
There's only one way. There's no other way.
There's no experience where one perceives emptiness rather than just being involved in activity. I mean, if one is involved in activity, you said that's emptiness, and that is nothing, nothingness. Is that the is there another experience where one experiences emptiness as emptiness rather than emptiness through form?
Emptiness through form, or through some idea, aid, you mean?
Pardon?
By some aid? for?
Well, some special experience. So we, I mean, I've been confused about the idea
yeah.
of enlightenment.
Yes, maybe so. Language is something that's very, you know, very imperfect, you know, way of putting it. First of all, you know, before we figure out what does it mean, we should practice Zazen. You know. We should be completely involved in Zazen practice, you know, or else you will have many various misunderstandings. And this, as long as you are here, you should follow our everyday life. And you should recite sutra in certain form. And you should bow with some instruction and with some certain way. That is the shortcut to understand what does it mean. If we, I try to explain it, you know, I'll cause you various misunderstandings. That is why we practice our way in this kind of way. You feel fast?
I feel grouchy.
I'm grouchy. Yeah. You should come back to practice, you know. When you realize, when you notice that you are not practicing.
But it seems like
The more you quiet, you find it more difficult?
No, the more, if I don't notice it, then it's easy, but I'm not working on it. Uh-huh. And I don't get anxious, but I'm not working.
You should try to work, you know. And you should, you know, you should try to keep yourself on track.
She's saying the harder she tries, the crookeder the track gets.
No, I don't think so. Even so, you should try to keep yourself on track. If you don't, you know, you don't know where you are going. So there's no way to to practice our way.
If you are
cutting something, you know, you should be cutting. That's what I'm saying.
But if you're thinking, what do you do about thinking? Do you try and stop thinking?
Thinking, if you are thinking some other things, you should stop thinking and you should cut. You know, that is why I advise you to practice zazen, you know. This is easier. Much easier. And if you, the more you get accustomed to, you know, zazen practice, naturally you can do it. Without not much effort. So it is better to practice zazen rather than to apply the weak practice to your everyday life. So it is better to practice zazen rather than to apply the weak practice to your everyday life. So first of all, you have strong, you know, power practice. Then you can do things quite easily. You can read well, you can think better, you can act better. Do you agree? Okay. Hi.
Actually, my back is sore all the time. I feel that in zazen I should be relaxed, but there's a tension. I try to keep my back straight, and my muscles get very tense up and down my spine. And I've tried several ways of sitting lower or sitting higher, but it still seems to hurt quite a bit. And I don't feel relaxed. And my zazen is very rarely relaxed because I'm always trying to keep my back straight. But if I just relax, then
I
fall over.
Yeah.
Is there any way, or does a way develop to keep your back straight without tension?
More easily, you can do it quite easily if you will. How long have you been sitting?
About 2 years.
Maybe not enough. You know, some kind of effort is always necessary. As I'm 65 years old, you know, my back tend to be like this, and my mother was like this. So I have to make always some effort to keep my back straight. It is not, I don't feel so bad. You know. I rather feel better. But I'm trying always to keep my back straight. This kind of, you know, effort is always necessary. You know, sometimes you'll be sleepy. You know. and you cannot practice zazen as if you are lying in bed. some effort which will help you encourage your practice is necessary. If there's no difficulty in your practice at all, I don't think you can practice that. Like counting breathing, you know. You may easily lost your number. Then you will oh, I lost. So next time I must I must not lose my counting. So you know, make some effort to continue counting. That kind of effort, you know, will encourage your practice. And if you if you feel this is good practice or bad practice, that is not our way. Whatever happens to our practice, you should accept it as a part of your practice. And you should continue the practice. Anyway, you know, if you think you will attain something which is beyond, you know, our speaking, which is beyond our deeds, you know, which is beyond, completely different from our everyday life, you know. That is wrong understanding. In our everyday life, there must be our way.